You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Beaver Creek, Colorado resident Jim Stannard once sold his childhood coin collection to buy his first guitar, a Martin D28, one that he still plays today. Jim, like many musicians, stepped away from the music for a while during his family-raising years, but picked it back up in the early 2000s from the encouragement of his wife and has recently recorded his debut CD entitled Bucket List. Jim and I talk about his music, his life around the music, and his new CD in this edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining me. We're in Virginia. You're all the way across on the other side, right? Over in Colorado.
Yeah, I'm in the Rocky Mountains in Beaver Creek, Colorado, right now.
Oh, good. Okay. How close were you to the fires that were there not too long ago?
Not that close. There was a little bit of haze in the air, but fortunately, not that close. And now it's starting to turn fall out here. Leaves are starting to change. We're at over 8,000 feet, and the fire danger has started going down some. So that's
good. Good. Yeah, well, glad to hear that. So tell me, you've been at this for a while, right? Music has been in your blood for a long time.
Well, yes, I in the late 60s, I graduated from high school in 66, so I was in college in the late 60s, and, played music all throughout that time. I grew up on classic rock and Bob Dylan and that era, did not move forward as a professional musician in the 70s. I went off into a business career, but have always always continued to be interested, listening to music and doing some playing, and then really got back into it close to 10 years ago, I guess.
Okay. Did I read correctly, you actually attended Woodstock?
I did.
Yeah. I'm honored. I don't think I've known any or spoken to anybody directly who was there. So.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you, it's funny because it was, it was a mess. We basically escaped. We went Friday with a friend, and there was, the cars were parked many miles away. There was no food. It was raining, and I remember sleeping overnight on going to the concert, then sleeping overnight on somebody's porch, trying to get back to the car to get some food. And so my friend and I just ended up leaving Saturday night, and washing off layers of mud. I heard some of the music, but not the really headline acts.
Really?
But
okay.
two weeks before that was a wonderful concert in Atlantic City called the Atlantic City Pop Festival that had a lot of big acts. So back then, there was great live music.
All over, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that influential? I know it's kind of a broad question, but was that the kind of thing that inspired you at that time to really pursue that, or had you already kind of been involved in music playing from a playing perspective?
I was involved before that. I can't remember exactly what age I was. I was probably about 12 when I started playing guitar and just really, you know, really got into it and, you know, went on from there. So it was sometime in the early 60s when I, mm-hmm. when I started, and then, you know, the music was just grabbed me, and the whole sequence of things from the, you know, from the 50s rock and Elvis to, you know, to Bob Dylan coming on the scene, and to, you know, then, of course, the Beatles and the Who and the Stones, and kind of, you know, from my perspective, I'm still kind of stuck in that era.
Uh-huh.
When music turned into the mid-70s, it kind of, there were a few acts that I really, you know, really loved from the 70s and 80s, and you know, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty,
yeah,
Warren Zevon, but really, in the mid-70s, music kind of turned into a wasteland from my perspective. I was still listening to the earlier groups.
Now, did I read correctly that you actually sacrificed a childhood coin collection to buy your first guitar?
Absolutely. Well, it was my first good guitar. I bought a Martin D28 that I've still got. So that was a turning point back then. That was in, you know, 64 or something like that.
Yeah. So you were a young person when you did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned that kind of stuck in the 60s, but it seems like you kind of had an unlikely teacher then to kind of get you back into the music when you got back into music. If I know my music history correctly, Kip Winger and the band Winger is pretty much that 80s.
Yes,
epitome hair rock band, but that was someone who helped you kind of relaunch your
yeah music. And I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, I Kip is a absolutely, you know, incredibly broad musician, and I you know, good friend of mine, but I never listened to him back in the 80s. In fact, I wasn't even aware of that whole strain of music. I
yeah.
wasn't listening to those people, and I got put in. So I'll tell you the story on that. So I went out, you know, so in the, when I picked up music again, I wanted to polish my performance skills, you know, to be able to go out and play and, you know, not anything big, but just local bars or whatever. And, so I went, to something called the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah,
which
cool.
is run by David Fischoff, and it's fantastic. I went a number of years ago and, you know, got put in touch with some wonderful musicians. And, you know, at the camp, they we end up playing, they put bands together, and you end up playing the Whiskey a Go-Go the last night, which is a fun experience. So anyway, David Fischoff, after that camp, I said, you know, I really want to take singing lessons. Do you have anybody to recommend? And he said, there's only one person.
Hmm.
He said, you gotta get Kip Winger. And you know, Kip was only teaching, he wasn't teaching much at all. You know, he was working on his musical projects, and, he would only really teach prose. But David Fischoff, you know, gave the intro. So Kip initially said, well, okay, I'll give you six lessons, and then I'll turn you over to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's fine. You know, that's great.
Sure.
And but he, you know, I was doing my homework and working hard, and so he stuck with me. And he kept working with me, and then got into the helping me with the songwriting and helping me, you know, I mean, he really was instrumental in the whole putting the album together, getting the, finding the session musicians for the album.
Really? That's cool.
And then, you know, finding the mixer. I mean, Kip basically every step of the way guided me here.
Yeah.
And I had one other, So, and I mean, so Kip really introduced me to everybody on the album with one exception. I had been taking guitar lessons for a long time with somebody who lived a mile away from me in New Jersey, named John Skibick, who plays with the Afghan Whigs. And so John was very involved with the project also, and played came out to Nashville when we recorded and played lead guitar.
Uh-huh.
I'm still so I still work with John. So that's, you know, and what I've, one of the things I've learned from my business career is if you want to accomplish something, the first step is figure out who are the experts who can help you. I mean, just go figure out where can you get help.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate to get two superb musicians helping me on this.
Yeah, that's awesome. What led you to the camp initially?
You know, I'm not even sure how I found out about it. Mm-hmm. It was just some random ad or something, or article about it or something. But I like playing rock. I'm more of a, you know, old folky acoustic finger picking, you know, kind of style. I mean, that's what I normally play. But I try to play a little rock too. And, you know, I just looked like a lot of fun and looked like I could learn a lot.
So the songwriting for you then, is that something that's been part of you all of your music life, or did that kind of come into play in the second reincarnation of your second incarnation of your music career?
No, it just came in the second reincarnation, which is really pretty funny. I write, you know, I've always written a lot for business and so forth. I mean, I was always a very competent writer, but never a creative writer. I never wrote poetry, never wrote fiction or anything. But you know, I just love, you know, I listen a lot. I mean, I just love, you know, Warren Zevon and, lyrics and Paul Simon lyrics and Bob Dylan. And I mean, you know, they're playing in my head all the time. So, it was really Kip's encouragement about, you know, saying, you know, he's the one who suggested I ought to try it. And he, sort of helped, you know, guided me. And then, you know, once I started doing it, I got obsessed. So
yeah.
wanted to figure out, okay, I want to learn, find out who the best people to teach me are. How can I find them? And so I did, you know, through word of mouth and asking around, and I've been able to get help from a number of professional songwriters in terms of, you know, teaching me techniques and critiquing songs and so forth.
And the record that's out now, I understand, is after all of this time, is actually your debut CD. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. First time.
Yeah. That's cool. And you wrote all the songs for this?
I did. I wrote them all.
Did you write the songs with the intention of them being on this CD? Like, were you writing for the CD, or did the CD evolve out of the songwriting?
It evolved. I mean, when I started, I wasn't, you know, wasn't sure, you know, how, whether the songs are going to be any good or not. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure whether I'd just, you know, write two songs and that's all I had or whatever. And I just went step by step, and I had, you know, the first few songs I wrote after, and I mean, I have learned to revise like crazy. I mean, I don't just whip out a song in 20 minutes. I mean, I write, I revise 10 to 20 times, and try to, you know, really work over time is something I've learned from some of the professionals.
Yeah.
And so over a period of time, you know, I started, people who I was playing the songs for at the bars or coffee houses liked them, and I got positive feedback from some of the pros, and so I just kept going. And it has become an obsession. I've a whole new batch I'm working on.
Really? Awesome.
I don't have any specific plans for a second album, but I've got a number of new ones that I'm happy with that I perform, and probably at some point when I get the energy to go through this whole project again, maybe in 19, I'll come out with a second album.
Yeah. Okay. And this, the current record is called, appropriately, Bucket List. How long has that been out?
It came out, I think June, first weekend in June.
Okay. So it's pretty fresh for you then still.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I've had, once again, Kip introduced me to people who, handle some of his music, and so I've had been fortunate to have real professionals help me with the project.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So it's actually quite an interesting learning experience for me. In addition to the whole musical angle, which is the whole point of it, I mean, I'm just kind of interested in how the whole music business works.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, seeing all the, you know, how the pieces fit together, having, you know, been in other businesses.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to focus on this full time? Do you still have a professional other career that you do?
Well, I'm partly, I don't do this full time. I am partly to mostly retired from business, although I do, I've got a couple of nonprofit things I'm involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of business ventures. I was an entrepreneur in the insurance business and have founded some companies, and I still am involved with a couple of them, and still enjoy building organizations, but I'm not, I don't, you know, when I wake up in the morning, that's not what I think about. When I wake up in the morning, I'm more, you know, once I'm drinking my tea, I'm usually polishing up song lyrics.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool that you can devote that time to it. What is a playing out, playing this music kind of schedule look like for you?
Excuse me, I didn't understand the question.
So playing this music out for folks to be able to listen to it, enjoy it, the music on the new CD, a touring schedule, so to speak. What does that look like for you?
Well, I don't really have a touring schedule.
Right.
I mean, I play live. I play live locally in Sarasota. I play in a little bit out here in Vail, Colorado. And, you know, occasionally I've done one event with where John Skibbick came and played lead guitar with me. So, I mean, I may do a couple of those things, but I'm, frankly, I mean, I'm more consider myself a songwriter than a performer.
Okay. Yeah. So not looking for the next Woodstock.
right.
So the new CD is Bucket List. How can our listeners check out your music, reach out to you, find a copy of the CD?
Oh, well, yeah. So Pencil and Paper Time, they can probably remember this. It's jimstannardmusic.com.
And that's no D, right? S-T-A-N.
There's no D in there's no D in the middle of my last name, and there's only one N. So it's Jim Stannard, is S-T-A-N-A-R-D.
Yep.
Music.com. And on that website, you can get it, you know, any of the normal places, iTunes, Amazon, and we've got three videos that are on the website that,
I think
are really good. I have they're not me, you know, not photos of me playing guitar. They're you know, sort of thematic pieces around the songs, and one of them is a cartoon actually. And one of them has a vintage film from the 1916s of Pancho Villa.
That's cool. Good. Well, thanks, Jim. This has been awesome. I appreciate getting the chance to learn more about your music, and certainly wish you the best in your songwriting career and performing and pursuing the next one.
Well, good. Well, thanks a lot. And please check out the website.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.